Good morning. It is indeed a good morning, is it not? And as the song opened up, "Give Us This Day," it is most appropriate for us to remember that there is a nurturing, loving presence that provides for us always. And even though this is the pre-celebration Sunday for Memorial Day, it is always an important thing for us to remember that we are always provided for whenever, however, and for whatever we need. Amen. So let me start this morning with an introduction to Memorial Celebration Days. It was on this pre-Memorial Sunday that we take time to honor and celebrate and observe those that have made their transition. And it was started back in the early 1800s because of the wars. And in addition to that, in churches, we have learned to not just honor and observe those who have transitioned because of war, but to also lift up the memory of our loved ones that we hold dear in our minds and hearts. I take you to the scripture found in Luke, the 22nd chapter and 19th verse. And the words that Jesus spoke as he was sharing with his disciples in that time of what we call the Lord's Supper. It was the last supper he had, seemingly, with his disciples. And the words he spoke to them that were pronounced were, "Do this in remembrance of me." When we think about memorials, we think about just that, remembering. And the words that Jesus spoke at this Lord's Supper were words that we now commemorate in communion time. He also said that, "I came that you may have life and may have it abundantly." And it is written in the scripture of John, the 10th chapter and 10th verse. Memorial, the word memorial, means to celebrate or honor the memory of a person or an event. It also means that there is something as a structure or a custom serving to honor or keep alive a memory. One of the things I think that is so dear to my heart about unity and new thought is the way we think about and approach what we call death. We think about it in the words that Jesus said, "I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." We think about it in the same terms because Jesus said, "There is life everlasting." And yet in our earthly existence, we always seem to think of death as an ending, yet death is not an ending. It is a transition. And I think that it was the most gracious thing I learned as a youngster. I was a teen when I experienced what was seemingly the first hard experience of transitioning in my life, which was my great-grandfather. And I was so grateful to know what I know today. And because of that, I know that his presence is always with me, and he's always speaking to me and through me. He was a great orator, whatever that word is. Orator. Thank you, orator. He was good. He was prominent. And he taught us many things in the Baptist way. And because of that, I feel his spirit in me because I know that life is everlasting. And so even though this Memorial Day was started to commemorate those who were killed in war, it has since expanded itself in some degree. And just to share with you a few quick historical perspectives, it was inaugurated in 1868. Because of the American Civil War. So it really wasn't something that we see celebrated all over the world. Yet, there is commemoration in other parts of the world. The observance is usually done by those who visit the cemeteries. The flag is flown half mass, and others who commemorate with the taps, and there are other ways that they commemorate those who have lost or transitioned through war. It began after the Civil War and is now observed with a national moment of remembrance that takes place at 3 p.m. at Washington time. The day was set aside for May 30th, yet we've had law passed since that time for convenience sake, and we now celebrate or honor or observe Memorial Day on the last Monday of the month of May. There are still those who are veterans who are lobbying to get that returned back to its original date of observation. I kind of join with them because I believe that that was the day that was set aside, and that's where it should be. Yet we do that to make it convenient now during the last Monday of the month. It was also called Decoration Day back then, and I think that was attributed to the fact that they went to the grave sites and decorated the graves of the soldiers who gave of their life. But it is now recognized around the world as a remembrance day for whatever wars took place, wherever they took place, and has become a national day of commemoration. But I want to stretch you a little further this morning and invite you to think about memorial in its term or its definition, which is an observation, which is also a celebration and an honoring of someone who has transitioned. There are many ways we do that. Many ways we honor and observe someone who has left us a legacy. Eternity lights, candles, statues, figurines, rooms, poems, buildings, streets named after them, chairs even, scholarships and organizations, movements and programs that go on to help make a change in the world, and monuments. But because of that, we keep something alive. And that's an important thing to remember, is what are we keeping alive? Memorials celebrate or honor the memory of a remembered loved one or a significant event. And our history is colored with war. Colored with war. And I ask this question constantly, why must we war? Why do we have to have war? And those who have had the experience of military war, and those who have had loved ones in military and have made their transitions, all speak to an answer with, we died for our country, or they died for our country, or they died for freedom. I'm so glad to know what I know today. And that gives me strength. That gives me faith. It gives me hope. Because today is a new day, and there's awakening occurring all over the world. And that awakening is that there need not be a war. I'm watching and observing how we're handling this upcoming election. I'm watching and observing over the past years how those candidates have begun to move away from slander and bitterness and condemnation? Are you paying attention? Because it is moving us to a place of true beingness. Because in our true beingness, there is no need for war. So Eckhart Tolle makes a point in his book, A New Earth, when he says, non-resistance, non-judgment, non-attachment are the three aspects of true freedom and enlightened living. I contemplate that thought often because that is what's going to help us create a new earth. A new earth will come into manifestation through our awakening of the joy of being. Through our awakening of the joy of being. As we look to the demonstrations of our wayshower, Jesus Christ, I always go back to my foundation, that foundation found in a most fundamental book called the Bible. In that book is the story of Jesus Christ, our wayshower. And we can see three aspects that Eckhart Tolle just pointed out in that statement, in action. Jesus was non-resistant, non-judgmental, unattached, and expressed a freedom and enlightened living. He showed us the way. At what is now called the Last Supper and commemorated through the ritual in many Christian churches, Jesus asked the disciples to do this in remembrance of me. A reflection on this commemorative event will reveal to us what he asked us to do. Do this in remembrance of me. I think it is my opinion, because we learn not to think in class. It is my opinion that we kind of lost the true meaning and the true request in the ritual of drinking the wine and eating of the symbolic bread. But I want to take you this morning to what I believe he was asking us to do in remembrance. Let me take you back to the event for a moment and walk you through some of the steps or some of the activities that took place. He gathered the disciples together in the upper room. He washed their feet. He prayed, and then he broke bread and he shared it, giving it to them as a symbol of his body. He prayed again, and he poured wine into a cup, and then he drank of that cup and shared that cup with all of his disciples, asking them to drink of that cup of wine. He identified the one who was to betray him and instructed that one to go about what he was to do quickly. He taught his disciples as they ate and supped together, and he expressed his love for them as he revealed that he knew that each and every one would deny him when the time came. Now let me take you to what that means to us today, what we can draw from that, and what he is saying, do this in remembrance of me, as we associate it with remembrance today. What he did was he gathered the disciples together in the upper room. He invited, and we are now receiving the invitation, and it is up to us to accept that invitation to be in communion with Christ. He gathered the disciples, which represent for us our spiritual faculties, meaning all of them came together. In this time of memorialization and celebration of this time, this day, Memorial Day, there's a statement that says, one nation under God. Come together as one nation under God. When he gathered all the disciples, we are invited to gather all of our spiritual faculties under God's direction. There is one presence, one power, and that is God, or we name it God. He washed their feet. Our feet represent our understanding. So when we think of washing, we think of cleansing. So what we want to remember today is that feet represent understanding, and that the washing is the cleansing of understanding that takes place within each of us of our misperceptions and misguidances. Hello. He took bread. Bread symbolizes spiritual substance. When we think of bread in our physical expression, it is also something we take in and appropriate. It is something that we eat to nourish our bodies. So if we take it to a greater awareness and understanding, this bread symbolizes spiritual substance that we take in to nourish ourselves physically, mentally, and emotionally. And he prayed over this bread before they ate it. Our prayers are getting ourselves out of the way. We move out of the way so that we can receive the nurturing substance that is here to bless us. Amen. He took the wine and he poured it into a cup and he drank of it. And he told his disciples it was symbolic of his life. So today, when we drink of a wine substance or a symbolic substance called wine, then we bless it and we pray over it because it is life energy symbolically. Hello. So I am taking in, when I drink of this substance of life, I am taking in the Christ principle. I am taking in the truth. I am letting it nurture me, mind, body, and soul. And then I give forth from that substance a creation of new life energy. With me? So identify and reveal was the next step, because he identified someone who was going to deceive him, betray him. Yet you notice there was no judgment, there was no resistance, and there was no attachment. He just let it happen. Hello. I want to take you there now, because that's where we're going. It's to learn to create a new earth through non-resistance, non-judgment, and non-attachment. It is what it is. So if I identify something and let it be revealed, I don't have to do anything about it. Did he do anything about it? He did nothing about it. He let it be. Because he had a greater awareness and understanding, it is my belief, that he knew something greater was about to come. And there was no need to do anything about it. Because each of us, having our own experience, has our experience for our own growth, realization, and understanding. Hello. And if we allow it, we gain from it. If we allow it, we receive and we are nurtured by it. One other thing he did was he taught the disciples. He instructed them and he continued to lift them up. And the last thing was he forgave them and loved them eternally. He said, I know you're going to deny me. How many times have we denied the Christ in us or the Christ in others? He said, I know you're going to deny me, but I love you anyway. So we can do the same thing in our lives, can we not? We can do the same thing for those who are out there perpetrating harm on others. I know that what you are doing seemingly is harmful, but I can love you and forgive you because I know that is not the truth of your being. In loving memory of those who have transitioned from this earthly plane today as our loved ones, and in the expression of our love, we can increase our spiritual awareness of life and share life. We can be lifted up in consciousness and therefore enter into a higher life, a higher state of mind. We can hear freedom's call and wake up to the awareness there is one presence and one power, and we can do it all the time. We can, as Jesse Jackson said and made it a popular statement, keep love alive. That's what a memory does, is keep love alive. Stop repeating war. Stop warring with yourself. Stop warring with your loved ones. Stop warring with others. And then we can stand together and truly bring about a new earth of peace because we are living expressions of love. Amen? Amen. War is the expression of separation. And what our messengers have tried to reveal to us time and time again is that if we stand as one, we cannot be divided. If I stand as one with Christ, with God, there is no division. There's only love. So we can today, in loving memory of our loved ones, begin to practice more love through our words, our actions, and our reactions. We can begin today to pay attention to what we say, to how we act. We can today begin to observe love through our actions and our words and to see it in others. Despite what they may be saying, despite what they may be doing, we can begin to see love, be love, and be loving. Amen. So instead of dying for freedom, we can begin to live freedom. Instead of dying for our country, we can begin to live together in countries with peace. We can do as Christ Jesus demonstrated as our way shower, forgive, love, and pray. Jesus knew what was about to occur, yet he loved and he forgave. And the result was his resurrection and his freedom. As I close, I remember the words of a song made popular by Barbara Streisand and Gladys Knight. And that song had the words memories. The words were memories like the corners of my mind. Misty watercolored memories of the way we were. It's not inviting you to just stay in the past, but misty watercolored memories, scattered pictures of the smiles we left behind. Instead of letting them be behind, let's bring them forward for the way we were. The song says, can it be that it was all so simple then? Or has time rewritten every line? And if we had the chance to do it all again, tell me, would we? Could we? Memories, she says in the song, may be beautiful and yet, what's too painful to remember, we simply choose to forget. So, It's the laughter we will remember when we remember the way we were. And I take you back to the way we were as true beings of God. The laughter, the freedom, the joy. Remember that, and we will honor our loved ones who are on the other side, watching us and waiting patiently, embracing us, encouraging us, and supporting us to make this journey to a new earth. This is the message. I am the messenger. Go forth and remember in loving memory. Amen.